Hello, and welcome to American Pale Males, your nerdy beer tasting podcast. As always, I am your host, Jeremy, and with me, as always, is your co-host...
It's me, it's Michael.
So, Michael, you've got beers, you've got brags, hit me.
Yeah, I want to go to a small brewery. I assume they're small, because this came in a crawler, this beer, from Minneapolis. The brewery is called Sisyphus. And I had their blonde. Remember how you were saying you had this chase beer, or chase taste, I guess you could say, of the pumpkin ale from, what was it called, Capital Brewery?
Old Capital Brewers at the time.
Yes. And how you're still chasing that flavor, and you've not found anything quite there yet?
Yeah, I do remember quite well, Michael. Thanks for reminding me.
Yes, exposition. So, I also have a similar chase beer, and it is actually from that very same brewery.
Really?
Yes. They had there a chocolate blonde that was amazing, and I've never had anything quite like it since. Now, this beer from Sisyphus, it wasn't a chocolate blonde, it was a blonde ale, but it hit that blonde note that chase taste... back at Old Capital Brewworks hit for me. So, I really liked it. I mean, it didn't have that chocolate part, but man, it hit that blonde so well. It had a great yeast flavor that was just perfect. So I really liked that beer. I think I gave it like a 4.5 or something. You know, it's just their standard blonde ale, but something about it just hit that perfect note for me. So, you know, I'm still searching, still trying to find that chocolate blonde flavor, but as far as blondes go, this was one of the best I've had.
Michael, do you remember the name of this blonde? What was of all the chase blonde? You know, I know it's hard, but can you remember all the names of all the blondes you've, you know, had in the past? Or do you just remember that one blonde that got away?
Well, it was college, so I really didn't, you know... Didn't do names back then, moving fast from bar to bar.
Was it called Dirty Blonde?
Yes, that's it. That's it.
Michael, I have good news for you.
Ooh.
So remember how I had said that it just wasn't the same when Old Capital Brewworks moved to Great River in Davenport?
Yeah. Davenport, right, okay.
They still make that beer.
Really?
And I'm pretty sure I can get it at my local Hy-Vee.
Oh.
As a matter of fact, that's another one that I can add to the list for the next swap.
Oh, man, that'd be awesome.
Thank you. You're taking all of the work out of this, man. I've got like three of them. There's the Prairie Bomb, which the Christmas Prairie Bomb is going for $10.99 a bottle, so I don't know if I'm going to do that. But
maybe not.
maybe for a in person or something like that.
Yes, yeah, that seems good.
But in any case, yeah, Dirty Blonde, it's still made. They also make a Cherry Blonde.
Okay.
Which is remarkable too, I might add.
I don't think I've had that one, but okay. Yeah, we'll have to see if it's just Memba Berries or if it's truly a beer that I'm still looking for and I really would like.
I believe we went to Great River around the time of the marriage of the Council of the Great White North.
Yeah.
Because he had Great River provide the beer for his wedding. And I definitely remember having the Cherry Blonde, which I believe is called Cherry Bomb, at his bachelor party. And I'm pretty sure that I had the Dirty Blonde when I was down there too. But there was a lot of beer that weekend, so I'm not 100% sure on that.
Okay. Okay.
But that said, I know that they sell it at Hy-Vee.
Oh, that is awesome.
Yes. But Michael, I think I can beat your beer brag.
All right, what do you got?
So, remember when you came down to Iowa City and with basically, you know, an excuse to just put you know your child with the child of friend of the show Steve and just put him in a room and like have them look at one another?
Yeah, that's kind of what happened.
But I was gone. I believe I was at Riot Fest.
Yes.
Well, during that time, friend of the show Steve had told me he was going to make you try Stone's Chocovesa side by side with Chocovesa Chard.
Oh, that's right.
And you didn't do it, but we did it.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I have to live vicariously. So how was it?
It's interesting. It's almost backwards from what you would expect. So, for those not familiarized, I mean, it's a Stone Chocovesa Mocha Stout aged in bourbon barrels. So one would expect this to be, a hairier beer. And to be sure, it does come in at a 10% ABV. So technically, it is hairier. Here's the color text from Stone's website. The base beer is the recipe of the 2014 Stone Homebrew Competition winner Chris Banker, an intensely flavorful milk stout brewed with cocoa, coffee, and spices to mimic the rich flavors of Mexican hot chocolate. And the additional notes on this one are, time spent in bourbon barrels gave an already complex beer even more complexity and flavor intensity, layering additional caramel-like and vanilla flavors on top of those already present.
Ooh.
Aromas of rich coffee and dark chocolate are followed by nutmeg and cinnamon. A lush, heavy mouthfeel laden with charred oak and toffee engulfs the palate on the first sip. Lingering pasilla, I'm assuming, pepper, and soft oak flavors persist through the exceptionally long finish in this intensely rich and satisfying beer. Now, I don't normally like to speak for people, Michael, as you know me. I don't make any broad statements or blanket proclamations or anything like that.
Yes.
But okay. Friend of the show, Steve, and I've had similar reactions to this one where the pepper is definitely lingering. They have that part correct in the color text. It doesn't have the zip of the regular Chocovesa. This one does have a creamier taste to it, which is supremely weird because when you have like a barrel aged whatever in your mind, you just assume that you're going to get smacked upside the head with a 2x4 as far as the flavor goes.
Right.
Whereas with this one, it's more of a, I don't know if we let it warm up enough to get the subtleties to it, but it was definitely different enough from the base that we decided that we had to go down to the basement and get a regular Chocovesa, which is definitely, it's more intense.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
You think it'd be the other way, yeah.
Exactly. I think it's because the peppers are more present in the base version.
Okay.
It's kind of weird. It kind of feels like they had made like a bourbony hot chocolate, although I didn't really get any bourbon or like whiskey flavors out of the barrel aged one. But both delicious in their own rights, just not at all what I had expected. I gave the regular Chocovesa 4.5 because it remains delicious, and the barrel aged one 4.0. Still good, but not what I was expecting. I think if I were to have it again, I would have a better feel for what was coming, and I could maybe appreciate it a little more, but as it stands, I like the original better.
I would not anticipate that.
Yeah, me neither.
Difference. Does the chard, is that a bomber, or does that come in a six-pack as well?
So, it does not come in a six-pack, and we had this very discussion as to whether or not what constitutes a bomber. It's a 690 ml bottle, right? Is supposed to be a bomber?
Yeah, 22 ounces?
Something like that.
Yeah.
This one felt just shy of that. It was a shorter bottle, and it had that wine bottle dimple in the bottom, where it looks like it goes all the way bottom, but there's like a solid inch and a quarter or so of glass. It just kind of bubbles up. So
yeah,
if I had to guess, I'd say 500 ml, but I'm not gonna put money on that.
Okay.
Not a six pack, not a bomber, somewhere in the between.
Okay, and Steve got that this year, right?
He's had that for a while. Yeah, I don't remember when. I feel like it may have been in his basement for quite some time.
Oh really? Okay.
Yeah. We also realized that his basement is, pretty darn close to cellaring temperature, so the 10 million bourbon counties that he bought this year are going to age nicely, and hopefully I can get them out to Dark Lord Day at some point, and we can get our weight in gold in, rare beer trades.
Ooh.
Yeah. But that's for another episode, Michael. What do you got for me next?
I have for you two podcasts that I wanted to tell you about.
Okay.
It's the return of Podcast Pitch. Where we talk about podcasts that the other person might like.
Okay.
So, Jeremy, I have a podcast that you may like, and I have a podcast that I'm pretty sure you will like.
Bring it on. I'm curious.
All right. The first one is called Raised by TV, and it's in...
what are you insinuating there, Michael?
Well, I'm not sure, so...
Oh, no, I was raised by TV. Don't worry about it.
Okay,
I just don't know how you knew that.
So it's Lauren Lapkus.
Good start.
John Gabris.
Even better.
And basically, it's them sitting together and just off the top of their head...
Memba?
Yes, it is pure Memba Berries, but it's done in an entertaining way. Mm-hmm. And it's not... It is nostalgia for nostalgia's sake, but I don't know. It's presented in a like enthusiastic way and, you know, triggering memories. Like, do you remember this commercial that had bubble tape commercial and it was kind of Terry Gilliam animation? And they're like, oh, yeah. And then so they basically go over old TV from the 90s mm-hmm. in our wheelhouse. And each episode so far, there's only been like three or four. Like, they've done game shows, they've done cartoons, and they've done commercials. And okay. So, yeah, they just, there's not really any format. They just feed off of each other, remember this, and then they talk about that for a while, and mm-hmm. then they get sidetracked and then talk about another tangent, sometimes not even related to TV.
Interesting.
You know, just related to their childhood and stuff like that.
Where have I heard that, going on tangents that don't really mean anything? Where have I heard that before, Michael? You tell me.
I don't know. What else was I going to say? Oh, and they also, like, they talk about toys and stuff they had, like, related to certain shows or related to commercials they saw. Apparently, Lauren Lapkus just, like, got any toy she asked for, so she always, like, oh, yeah, that toy sucked. It was terrible.
She's one of those people.
Awesome. Yeah.
All right.
So, it's definitely worth a listen to.
I'm interested, Michael.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty funny. If the 90s are when you grew up, it's right in that wheelhouse.
Plus, so. Lauren Lapkus and John Gabris are funny people.
Oh, God. Yeah, they're hilarious. They're cracking jokes the whole time.
I believe it.
Now, the next podcast, which maybe you know about, maybe you don't, but I'm pretty sure you'll like this one, is called Music of the Mat.
Oh, boy. I do not know of this one, but I want to.
And, you know, Jeremy, you like music and you like wrestling, and this
true.
Podcast is a marriage of the two, and it explores music of wrestling.
Oh,
so
man.
They'll go into like albums that were released. They'll go into specific wrestlers and go over all their theme songs.
Oh, wow.
They'll go into like they did all like the review of all the songs
uh-huh.
for each WrestleMania.
Oh, God. Is that close, at least? You know what I'm talking about.
The three episodes I listened to so far, so I've been focusing on the ones where they go over wrestlers' themes. Stone Cold, all his themes, even before he was in the WWF. And
back when he was Stunning Steve?
Yes. And they're like using stock library music from
the
Turner library.
I mean, like I told you, man, it was only a few episodes ago where I was watching old War Games.
Yes. Oh, so you got a whole bunch of that, didn't you? Stock
uh-huh.
theme music. The other one was music of the NWO.
So just that ding, wow, wow, except that was it.
Yeah, well, that was so interesting. So they went into that theme, and that theme is a sample of 5 different Jimi Hendrix riffs.
Really?
Yeah, blended together. It's incredible. And they like take the songs that it came from and kind of recreate the theme with the Jimi Hendrix riff. Yeah. I never knew that. It was really interesting.
Oh, I'm definitely listening to this now.
Yeah, they pull like the NWO themes from like the video games and just ripped on them for a while.
Well, yeah.
Because they're like a pale imitation of the real deal. And then I listened to Edge and Christian, all their theme songs. Yes, yes. Going back to the Brood. Yeah, and that was really good too. So it's really good. Gets a little dorky at times, as you'd imagine. That's kind of...
yeah, you don't say.
Yeah. But yeah, if you have like any tangential interest in the music of wrestling art wrestlers, it is... an incredible listen. because each episode I've listened to, I've learned something, either a song I didn't know about or how the song was created, because I do research on that, like finding Jim Johnston interviews. And,
oh, no.
Yeah.
Michael, I just want you to know that because of this, there is now a post on our Facebook page telling people to listen to the WrestleMania 10 theme song, the song I was trying to think of. But yeah, you can listen to that in full on our Facebook page at APM Pod. So go check that out and then come back.
Yes. I was going to say, oh yeah, Stone Cold. This is one last random tidbit I'll tell, just a little teaser for you. Like, there was three nights almost in succession where he had a different theme song, like in 2002, and then they finally went back to his original. Yes. It was during, like, the Alliance era of WWE, or maybe it was WWF at that time. But really weird era.
When did they get the F out, Michael?
Yeah.
It was. When I can't, like, sleep on a weekend, or if I have a weekend alone, which is rare, where I'm just sitting there by myself at, like, 11 p.m. at night and I can't think of anything to do, and I'm too sleepy to watch an episode of Mr. Robot or something like that, I'll go back and, like, find some random pay-per-view of, like, 2004, something, like, one of them that's, like, somewhat infamous, like the JBL chair shot on Eddie Guerrero, and it looks like a crime scene. Like, and I'll watch that, and I can't for the life of me put my finger on why that era is so weird.
Yeah, it was, like, post-attitude, so stars were different, but it was still, like, early enough that you could have
blood,
mixed gender matches, and chair shots to the head, and yeah, it's just bizarre.
Yeah, we didn't know about concussions back then, Michael. Yeah. It's hard watching that old stuff where they just, like, take unguarded shots to the head. It's really it's really uncomfortable now. Whereas when I was a kid, it was awesome.
So there you go, Jeremy. That's the podcast pitch. Hopefully you find some enjoyment from
those. I'm going to hammer through some music of the mat. Don't you worry about that, sir. It's game on with that one. All right. And I'm putting it on my phone, like, as we speak.
Awesome. Well, Jeremy, I have another thing for you here.
Okay.
Kind of a lead into our beer brag. Our FDR.
Well, it's sort of a beer brag.
Yeah, I guess so. It's a live beer brag of sorts. So there's the beer we're having today. There's, like, a little demon on the bottle.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm like, what can I do for this episode to, like, I don't know. I need something incorporating the beer. And I just, like, demonology quiz, and I typed that into Google.
Sweet.
And I got this, like, weird dusty corner of the internet quiz website, and some random user making a quiz that is, what type of demon are you?
Oh no.
So I'm going to give you this quiz and we'll figure out what type of demon you are, Jeremy. All right. I think there's, like, six questions.
Gotcha.
If you could be one of the Christian deadly sins, which would you be?
Sloth.
That's not an option.
Ah!
Well, maybe it is. So here's what they got. Lust, gluttony, greed, pride, other. I guess other?
Well, if sloth is on there, is you know, my favorite, because I'm a big fan of lazing. But in a world where that's not one of the choices and I'm not a big other fan, I'm going to go with gluttony. Because I have been eating like an absolute swine.
What kind of child do you view yourself as? Rebellious, curious, manipulating, out of the ordinary, or demanding?
Probably curious.
Curious, all right.
I was always just kind of wandering into things and looking at weird crap.
Old horror movies.
Yeah, that too, yeah.
If you were in prison for a crime, what would you be charged with? Cannibalism, sexual harassment, theft, trespassing, or murder?
If I'm being honest, probably trespassing, but I'm going to go with cannibalism just because it's fun.
Yes. Any of these questions you can answer with for purposes of this quiz.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you can't prove that I'm a cannibal, Michael.
Question four. Are you social? Not at all. Very. I call myself a social butterfly. depends on the type of people. I'd rather people came to socialize with me, only if I get something from the people I'm talking to.
Depends on the type of people.
All right.
I know who I want to see, and I see those people.
Do you consider yourself a leader or a follower? Definitely a leader, mostly a leader, mostly a follower, definitely a follower, in between.
I'm going to go in between. Mostly because I don't really care if people are like, no, we don't want to do that. And I'm like, all right, whatever. Well, I'm going to go watch the Florida Project at Film Scene anyway, so. But then again, you know, I also hate taking charge, so I'll go. Okay. I'll go in between.
All right. And question 6 takes a turn for the dark.
Sweet.
The question just simply states, preferred way of attack. Psychological abuse. Slowly, gradually luring in my victim, and then just slowly killing them. Biting. Stalking before lunching onto the victim.
Stalking, eh, Michael?
Yeah.
You mean stalking?
How should I say it? Stalking? Stalk? Stalking before lunching onto the victim. I think I overcorrected that.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Or sexual torture.
Ew. I'm going to go with psychological abuse, Michael.
Okay. What type of demon is Jeremy?
Please tell me it's like Belial.
Jeremy... Oh, this is very generic. Your demon is... It's a ghoul.
Okay.
A ghoul is a monster from ancient Arabian folklore that lives in graveyards. The Arabic name for ghoul literally means demon. Can shift from human to animal form, whatever it needs to be, especially a hyena.
Hmm.
Living somewhere secluded. Kill and eat people.
yada, yada, yada. Cannibalism.
Preys on the defenseless.
Yeah.
All right.
Hmm.
And, you know, this quiz app, it just basically takes where your answers are most weighted.
Mm-hmm.
It's not very sophisticated, and you chose 4 of the 6 answers lined up with ghoul, apparently.
I see.
The other demons you could have been, again, which aren't really like...
Like Baal?
No, they're not proper nouns, which is why this quiz kind of stinks.
Yeah.
Poltergeist, the devil.
Uh-huh.
Ghoul, familiar, incubus, succubus.
Flanders, you're the devil? Poltergeists are pretty cool because they're the mischief-making ghosts. They don't cause any real problems, nor do they eat anybody. They just sort of kind of raise hell and leave, which I approve of.
Yeah, rattling cabinets and knocking pictures over.
The Enfield Poltergeist, the Amityville Horror, the list goes on.
So,
you may know the Enfield Poltergeist is the basis for The Conjuring 2, Michael.
Yes, I did.
All right.
So that was the awful, awful internet quiz.
Was that on an Angel Fire website, Michael?
It's pretty close. It's quotiv.com.
Okay.
And that was presented to you by user Mads.
Okay. Thanks, Mads.
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, Michael, now that all this hooey and applesauce, as a great man once said, is through, yes. How about we move on to the FDR, wherein we find a beer, drink a beer, and rate a beer? And why don't you tell the fine people what this demon, this rascal, if you will, is that's on our bottle?
Yes. So we are having a first-time brewery on the podcast.
Is this the first time?
Yeah, I think they've been mentioned in a beer brag, and that was about it.
Oh. Huh. Okay, cool.
So we are having, and maybe this is a little out of season, but who cares?
Yeah, whatever.
White Rascal. Avery Brewing.
I'm a rascal.
A Belgian style white ale. Ale brewed with spices.
It's a fairly vague description. But that's okay. Description is not a whole lot of anything. I'm looking through the log here, Michael, and I'm not seeing Avery, which is weird because they've kind of been all over the place lately.
Yeah.
Or at least it feels
like
they have.
They've been in the news lately. So just a little backstory about Avery. So they are from Boulder, Colorado.
Michael, I have to interrupt.
Yes.
This was actually the second beer we've had from Avery.
Oh.
That you've had from Avery. This was on what appears to be last year's Christmas episode. On episode 90, you had Old Jubilation Ale, and you gave it a 4.25. It's a winter warmer.
I stand corrected, but we all know that the Christmas episode is non-canon. But you're right. Blacklisted from the website.
Blacklisted!
No, they're still there. And they're good episodes, too.
Yeah.
So, Avery Brewing Company, Boulder, Colorado, founded in 1993. So they've been around for a while. I'm looking to see if there's any other significant events. Started canning beer in 2010. They're bottling beer well before then, though. Mm-hmm. In 2015, they built this new brewery complex in Boulder on the kind of on the north side. And that's the place that I went to. It was like just recently opened. It was a very nice place. And for me, I always associate Avery with like weird beers.
I was just thinking that.
Barrel-aged Brett, something like that, you know?
Yeah.
Now, just a few days ago, as of this recording, they made news because they sold a 30% stake to...
Drum roll, please!
Mao? I'm probably saying that wrong. Mao San Miguel.
Okay.
So with that, they are considered, according to the Brewers Association, not to be a craft brewery anymore. And
really?
They previously ranked number 48 on the top craft brewers in the nation. Now, if that name sounds familiar, Mao San Miguel, that's the Spanish outfit. They were the ones who bought Founders, maybe 2014 or so. And they're Spanish, as in from Spain.
Swarthy.
And so that's why you'll see like Founders in European countries and stuff.
Yeah.
Because they have that... that connection, that European connection there. So this could expand Avery's reach across the globe.
Maybe.
You know, it's only a 30% stake. It's not that much, but in the eyes of the BA, they out, LOL.
Mm-hmm.
That won't stop us from enjoying the beer today.
Exactly. And you know what? It's not like they're selling to AB InBev or anything. And Founders has been nothing but spot on as far as I'm concerned. So... I don't view this as selling out. I view it as buying in.
Yeah. It could definitely be worse, and it could be neutral for that matter. So
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens with this. So that's why they've hit the news lately.
Well, Michael, I have some color text for you.
Yes, please.
A truly authentic Belgian-style white ale. This rascal is unfiltered. Yep, that's yeast on the bottom. And cleverly spiced with coriander and curacao orange peel, producing a refreshingly zesty classic ale. For maximum flavor, slowly pour into a glass, leaving a small amount in the bottle. Swirl the remainder and the yeast, and then top off your brew. Brewed with Rocky Mountain water. Malted barley, malted wheat, hops, coriander, curacao, orange peel, and Belgian yeast. So it's been established that this Rocky Mountain water stuff is nonsense, right?
I assume it's just like municipal water, right?
Well, I mean, even if there is something special to the water, which is entirely possible, you know. We have spectrophotometry now. We can figure out what's in this stuff in a... Oh, God, is it spectrophotometry? Yeah, we can.
I mean, that's what they had to do for, like, Bud Light.
Coors.
When they bottle it, when they make it overseas or, like, in a different part of the country, they have to, like, add or remove minerals to the water to make it same standard as it was in St. Louis.
God, I hope it's spectrophotometry. I'd really hate to bust out a big word like that and just be completely talking out of the wrong side of my head.
Well, Jeremy... you're probably the only person who wouldn't be able to prove yourself wrong.
One other person I can think of who would prove me wrong. And I want cousin of the show to tweet at me if I'm wrong.
So yeah, this is deviously delicious according to the bottle. And I will say quickly before we... Well, let's open it and then I'll talk about it. Open and pour.
I mean, it does take some time to open and pour, Michael.
This white ales are one of my favorite beer styles, but I don't have them very often. So I do have high hopes for this, but we'll see.
Has John's Generations White Ale been on the show?
It's not. That's maybe add that to your list.
Mark it. That is a local classic.
Millstream, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a solid beer.
Now, you're supposed to pour this and then leave a little bit in it and swirl it? And
I left about a quarter inch in the bottom and then swirled away. And
then add it?
Yeah. And it's very yeasty.
Whoa. Yeah. That's kind of cool.
I agree.
Got a little bit of banana. Got a little bit of a little citrusy in there, but not like hefe banana. Just a little bit of that. What would you put it like? What's something that it smells like?
A little orangey.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I sound like Pee Wee Herman, like, lemony.
That was your Paul Rubens.
That's as close as I can get.
Okay. Just Jesus Christ. Oh, you broke me, Michael. Okay. So I already went in and had a sip. I want you to have some.
Oh, good, good. All right, here I go.
It's delicious. I'll give you that.
Mm. It is good. It's not as like heavy-handed as a hefe.
No, which is good.
Yes.
I think as we've established, hefes are probably my least favorite style.
Yeah, we have mentioned that.
I'm trying to think of an analog for something like this because the world's most famous, and I'm putting serious air quotes around this, Belgian white ale is probably Blue Moon, right?
Yeah, in air quotes. Yeah.
Air quote. Well, I mean,
Belgian style versus,
I mean, it's allegedly Belgian style. It says Belgian style on the bottle, mm-hmm. but I mean, I can say I have a toilet made out of 24 karat gold, and that doesn't necessarily make it true.
Right, right. So, I mean, is that your standard candle that you're kind of comparing this to?
No, that's what I'm trying to figure out is what is it similar to? Not that matters. As professionals like we are, we should be able to describe it on its own terms.
Mm-hmm.
The malt is very light.
Right.
Whereas something like a golden Belgian ale or a strong ale or a quad or a, wait, no, not a quad, a triple, pardon me. Sorry, everyone. this is more of a this is a more moderate version of a triple.
Yes, yeah.
Because this clocks in at 5.6% alcohol, whereas
it's pretty mild.
A blonde fatale or a duvel or whatever would clock in at 8 and change.
Yeah,
this does not have that thick candy feeling to it. If that makes any sense.
It does have a little zesty flavor to it, a little kind of that. I wonder if that's hops doing that, just a pinch, or if it's actual spices doing that.
Part of me feels like it might be that orange zest that they're talking about.
Because
Curacao oranges are what's in like blue Curacao, isn't it? I mean, it would make sense.
I want to say yes. Yes, it would make sense.
It's Curacao oranges and blue. That's what's in it. It tastes like blue.
Yeah, this is like...
This is a really enjoyable beer.
It does. It has a good flavor profile. It's effervescent. I like the yeast flavor.
It is surprisingly fizzy, yeah.
When you compare it to like a Blue Moon, I think a Blue Moon lacks yeast flavor and it's a little weak on the body.
Yep.
You know, you can tell it's like for the masses, which is fine, but it doesn't deliver in that regard.
It's a good entry-level one for that.
Yeah. But this, has a little more meat on the bones and a little more kick to it.
Mm-hmm.
I think what I wish, you mentioned, I wish it kind of went over a little bit into that realm of the triple a little more. I wish it was pushing more that way. Right now it's kind of middling for me, but it's still good, though.
I am really appreciating this beer the more I have it. I think I respect the fact that it can get that somewhat Belgian-y. I mean, the yeast is straight-up classic Belgian yeast, right?
Mm-hmm.
It might not be like one of those strains that's handed down from, the monks of 1200,
yes,
whatever, like pre-Black Death sort of monks.
Mm-hmm.
But it is certainly has that traditional Belgian flavor to it. And it's kind of nice having one of these without just feeling that the sugar just wail on your tongue, that like it does with a triple. It's kind of like a triple without the weight, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I am really appreciating that, because sometimes I don't need one of those. Sometimes it's just something nice to, drink. It tastes good. It's like, imagine if a Blue Moon was made with quality ingredients and a true Belgian yeast.
Yeah.
Like, this is the, to go super local on you, this is the Schortz Burger and Shine to a, like a Red Robin or something like that.
Okay, yeah.
It, totally, not... totally okay to go to a Red Robin. There's nothing wrong with a Red Robin. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, like, it's just, it ain't the same.
Right, right. And, you know, yeah, Red Robin isn't McDonald's. It still has...
Some... Yeah, exactly. It's got its own personality.
Yeah. A marginal difference there, but kind of marginal on top of marginal, I guess you could say. Two steps in the right direction.
Yeah, I like the crispness of it. I like the balance, I feel, is really good. And I do get a little bit of that orangey citrus flavor. Don't know. That's cool. I like it when a flavor that is usually, you know, dumped into a beer this style, cough, cough, Blue Moon, is there naturally. I think that's pretty awesome.
Yes, yeah.
But we've been jabbering, Michael. What do we say we get to the R?
Get to the R.
Are you ready?
DX?
Are you ready? Yeah.
Yeah. They only had, like, one theme, though.
Oh, yeah, they did, didn't they?
Maybe there was several iterations of it.
I mean, are we counting Road Dogg and Billy Gunn, the New Age Outlaws, as a different song?
Yeah, you could do all the songs.
Oh,
the...
you didn't know?
So I'll go first. Let me just take a quick sip of judgment. I'm kind of bouncing around a few ratings here.
Michael's rating.
I like it, and I don't want to besmirch it, but... I guess when I got this, I thought it was a Belgian style white ale, and I was real excited. I saw it was Avery, and I thought it was going to be a little weird, and I thought that it was going to be a little different. So I think I had kind of different expectations from what it really is, and that's kind of throwing me a little bit, because it is really nice and solid. It's a really good example of this style of beer. Tastes great, so I don't want to hold that fact against it too much. The fact that I was thinking it'd be different. I'm going to give it... Let me say that again in English.
Burp, burp.
I'm going to give it a 3.75. It's solid and then some, I guess, is kind of what I'm going for there.
I'm going to... I'm also oscillating between a couple different ratings. So, Michael, fill some air with something while I take a sip.
Okay.
Thanks, Michael. That was great.
I was going to say Christian Cage's song in TNA was a complete ripoff of an Evanescence song.
Oh, jeez. God. Aren't they all ripoffs of Evanescence songs? I mean, like, probably. Anything between, like, 2005 and 2008 is probably pretty dang close to, like, a local version of Evanescence, wherever that local may be for you.
Sure.
I want to go 4.25.
Wow, okay.
I was kind of going between 3.75 and something else, but that sip of judgment really put me over. I think as it warms up, you know, obviously as we've been discovering, the citrus is really coming out in it, and it's a really clean citrus flavor that goes well with that yeast. The body doesn't really get in the way, but I really like this beer. I could see this becoming if not a staple... of the rotation, as it were, at least a staple of a pick six.
All right.
Definitely, definitely reachable.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I would agree with that sentiment as well. Well, very good.
It's another one down the gullet. Michael, how about you hit us up with some social media plugs?
Sure. You can find us in a lot of places. Let us know what kind of Belgian-style white ales you've had and enjoyed, even if it's Blue Moon. You can talk to us on Twitter, at APMPod, on facebook.com/APMPod, email us directly, APMPod@gmail.com. We have an Untapped username, which is also APMPod, run by Mike, host emeritus, keeper of the Untapped.
Yeah.
And I'll leave it at that.
Hooray!
We have a YouTube page, which is random clips of snippets from the show. We are on your favorite podcasting app, so subscribe to us on that and listen to all the episodes. And if you can somehow leave a rating or review, that'd be awesome too. But a subscription is great as well. I think that's it.
All right. Yeah. Good times.
Good times. Yeah, we'll leave it at that. So for Jeremy, I've been Michael.
For Michael, I've been Jeremy.
And this has been American Pale Males. Cheers.
Cheers.